Then I want to move to the topic of how to build self-confidence. Because I think it is, you know, using the scenario that we're kind of talking about with something unexpected happened. It might be negative, might be at work, might be personal, it might be both. It happens to all of us, right? Self-confidence, I think, has some common myth. At least I've had them before, and you can let me know what myth you had about self-confidence. I wonder if any of these resonate. One is like, well, I can only feel confident in doing this when I've done this once and well. That's like, think about that self-talk or that statement that might be an assumption that you might make about yourself. I might feel confident if someone else recognizes my work. I might feel more confident if I knew more about it. So let me stop there. Those are three statements with one commonality. Anybody can share? What do you perceive as the common aspect of those three statements? So I'll read it again. Like, the first one, I will feel confident if I can actually do this once and have done it well. Number two, I can feel self-confident if someone else recognizes that I'm doing this well. Number three, I would feel more confident if I knew more about it. First of all, I would say, do you believe these statements? Or go ahead, Guminder, if you have a comment.
I don't quite believe the statements, and I think the commonality to me that shouts out the
But I'm recording it for Be My Career Coach.
Basing your confidence or self-confidence on external factors.
And if you want to jump in, just say this is
Jamie. Knowledge, here's what I think. Or something else. That's the commonality that shouts the most to me. I think self-confidence, just like the name suggests, should be about yourself. How you think of yourself, not factors that are external to you.
That's true. So definitely for number two, how someone else recognizing you is not self-confidence, right? You're actually relying on someone else's confidence in you. But number one and three is a self-talk, right? It's saying, hey, I've done something. I feel confident if I've done this well. But I think where you might be going, or at least what I'm trying to, illustrate, is that the second part of each of these sentences are dependencies on something more that you don't have today. And that's not the principle of self-confidence. Self-confidence, in essence, is actually always believing that you are enough right now. Just with what you know, just with what you've done, regardless of what other people think. Let me just pause there and see if that is your current definition. And I would like to ask each of you to think about what I just said and ask yourself, is that your current definition of self-confidence? Is that how you're feeling today? Yeah, so I think self-confidence has to do with knowing that I am enough exactly as I am now. Knowing only what I know now, not anything more. Having done what I've already done in my life now. And having the skills that I have now. And knowing that's all enough. And I'm confident in myself. Because what I said before, those three sentences always had a, well, I can't feel self-confidence. The negative side of that is I can't feel self-confidence until I've done this project this way well. So there's always a caveat, right? It's either external caveat or something you have to do more of, something you know more of. And actually, that's not the essence of self-confidence. Self-confidence is something you can just give yourself right this second, right now, without evidence. But it's a hard one because societal, I think, has created some myth about that. And I just would love to hear, I guess more so, how that strikes you as a definition of self-confidence. Do you believe, even if you don't practice it, do you believe that's the case?
Yeah, what do you think is that? Yeah. What I I also see that, like, even I think the person, and I translate that into a smaller victories of yes for yourself. That gives self confidence, boosts your confidence, like on a daily basis. Or
so if you have confidence once you have small victories.
Smaller victory can contribute. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so there's...
It doesn't have to be a big thing, too. Yeah, that's what my point is. It doesn't have to be a big, like, example, a project or something. I don't need to have that to be done to gain my self-confidence. But on a daily basis, something I've done towards that, you know, that gives me self-confidence.
Okay. Does that give you more self-confidence or self-satisfaction? Like, do you actually feel more confident as a result? Okay. No, that's
both. I feel like it's both.
Okay. Anybody else? I'll read a quote that I just posted on LinkedIn. The problem with the world is that the intelligent people are full of doubts, while the stupid ones are full of confidence. I read this quote today. I loved it. Especially perfect for this conversation. The problem with the world is that the intelligent people are full of doubts, while the stupid ones are full of confidence. Have you worked with people or encountered people where they just exudes confidence, but when you've talked to them a little few times, you're like, you know nothing about anything. But they have self-confidence. Why is that?
So I have a thought on that. Sorry I joined late, everyone. This is Jamie. I think where that heads is that at times, you know, if we're very cerebral, we end up overthinking things to the point where, you know, we just go down these rabbit holes and then we start... I think the more you go down those rabbit holes, it starts kind of eroding some of the self-confidence because what-ifs come up. Whereas someone who approaches it with a single-minded focus, almost simplistic, they just have such supreme self-confidence in themselves because they have the supreme belief that they are doing it the right way. It's so singular in the way they see the world, right?
Yeah.
There was a famous story written in the book called Moneyball where this Hall of Fame pitcher in baseball, no one could hit the guy. And the guy who was the best baseball player out there, like they're saying he's the best. He was so nervous about seeing him. He turned to the other guy next to him. He goes, "Hey man, that's Nolan Ryan out there, the Hall of Famer." He goes, "I'm scared to go against him." And the other guy, who wasn't very bright, just looked at him and goes, "Ah, forget him. I can hit him." And it's just that's all it didn't even bother him. He said, "No problem. I'll just go up there and I'm gonna swing the bat and hit it." But it was just that single-minded, like, simplistic view of the world.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said for that, I think, right? It's the overthinking that erodes our confidence at times.
No, I love that share. It's an interesting formula. It's like a lot of us, and they said in this quote, so intelligent people, or, you know, in these cases, world-famous baseball players, but maybe overthinking. It's like, if we do X and Y, then I can be self. If I can hit him, then I'll be more confident that I can hit him, right? Versus self-confident actually has this power that we haven't accepted, which is you can just be confident.
What?
And there's no prerequisite.
Right. And I think what it is we always, the people who think about it, like I'm guilty of this too, is if we just get this one thing more, it'll make us better to be more confident.
Yep.
And the reality is people who are like very confident, a lot of them, they don't even think in those terms. It's not even like, if I can get one more thing, if I can do
I'll
this.
Be more yeah, exactly.
They already are.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep. And the correlation to this is I've also learned in the last 5 years, same thing happens to us in happiness. If you ever look at your self-talk, if I just get that promotion, I'll be happy. If I just be able to marry the right person, I'll be happy. If I just make this amount of money, I'll be happy. Which always has that like prerequisite versus I think I've learned only recently in the last few years, happiness is a bit of a, it's actually can be detached from the everyday, maybe even disappointments or victories. And self-confidence has that same flavor. It's interesting to consider giving yourself the permission to be confident and go forth.
I think to that point, another sports analogy. Sorry, I think in terms of sports analogies, but there's a thing called short memory. And yep. Any of the cerebral sports that are very, like golf, basketball, baseball, you know, like those things that require, if you overthink it, you'll start not doing well, right? They say short memory. And I think I've said this before, but what is a person who's like really good at shooting if they miss 10 shots do? He shoots an 11th shot.
Yeah.
They don't let that set back. It only sits with them very short, and then they execute like immediately. Because it's falling off the bike, right? If you don't get back on the bike, you start, one day turns into week. Week and then turns into a month. You don't month ever turns do it into
again.
A year.
Yeah, right? You don't ever do it again, right? I think a different way to assess whether you're doing that or not is, do you remember your mistakes, quote unquote? Let's say, you know, you're learning. We're all learning. I'm still learning how to lead, build a team, how to navigate politics. We're all in a journey of learning at different stages. How much time, mental energy, emotional energy, do you look back at your day, your week, your month, your year, at what you didn't do well? And how much do you dwell on it? Do you dwell on it at all? Who's kind of pretty good at short memories? Would any of you say you're pretty good? Or on the opposite, which of you are kind of have that tally in your head of things you might have done wrong, quote unquote, in the last year, in the last month? Let's just focus on jobs, like in your job. Which one are you?
I'm every week.
Every week looking at what's wrong?
Yeah.
Okay. Very true, right? But how long do you think about it?
I forget about it afterwards, and I move on.
Okay,
I
mean, so you do tally it, but it's a short thing, and then you're able to be aware and go forward.
I think it's natural to feel that. I think it's minimizing the scar tissue that it embeds in you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it doesn't heal.
Anybody else? Do you remember things that you maybe made a mistake 2 months ago, and do you notice what you tell yourself beyond just what happened?
I'll chime in, Leigh. I think I retrospect more on a 90-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
I keep a kind of track of the mistakes that I make. But one thing I want to say is that self-talk that you're talking about, right, that self-talk over time changes as you're retrospecting back.
Yep.
The self-talk on the first day when I make that mistake, and maybe even into the first week, it is very different from when I kind of go back at the 30-day mark or in my 90-day kind of assessment of what progress I've made and what mistakes I've made.
Mm.
That self-talk is very different. It changes.
Great. Can you share a little bit of what, an example, how it changes?
Yeah, and one clear kind of theme that I've seen, at least with myself personally, is that self-talk changes into more retrospection, into how can I do things better next time. And that only happens after I've kind of let it marinate for a little bit. An example would be like if I made a mistake or missed a step in some process that I was following. And, you know, at first I'm like, oh, I made that mistake. I should have looked into this better. I should have been more attention-oriented or detail-oriented.
Yep.
And then when I eventually retrospect, which I do frequently with myself, that story changes for myself. Like, okay, I made that mistake, but what ended up happening as a result of it? What could I have done different to begin with instead of looking at it more from a perspective of it was a mistake from my end? Maybe I need to pay a little bit more attention, do things a little bit different. So it becomes more of a learning self-talk with time than it does in the beginning.
How can you share a little bit about what you might have concluded about yourself because of that mistake? Did you make any conclusions beyond the particulars of what happened?
Yeah, another thing to share. So I over time, right, over my career, I think one of the things also is there are certain things which I've also accepted. This is the acceptance part. Certain things I'm just not good at. You know, just certain things I have to be more mindful of, watch out for more, be really cautious when I'm getting into those situations on how I'm going to handle it this time because of what I've learned in the past. I think that acceptance factor has come over a period of time and learning and making mistakes. That's one aspect. Mm-hmm. I think there are certain areas which I've identified for myself. I need to look into these slightly different, be more attentive or pay more attention in those areas when I'm doing a task in that area. I think that's one aspect.
So clarify for me, though, how is that, like, did your confidence change because of these different mistakes? Did you say to yourself,
absolutely,
I'm not as good or I'm better? What's the self-talk there?
The self-talk is two ways of thinking of this. One is the acceptance aspect that I talked about and always being comfortable with myself in not knowing everything and being allowing myself to make a mistake in areas. I think that's the kind of self-talk that I always give myself and even people that kind of work directly with me. You know, it's okay to allow yourself to make certain mistakes because as long as you have the intention to learn from it, and then you move on, and when you do those things again, you try to avoid making those mistakes.
Yeah.
But you have to allow yourself to make those mistakes to begin with. Because something you said earlier, right, when if I knew more, I would be more self-confident.
Yeah.
That, in my mind, that's directly related to allowing yourself to make a mistake. Go into something and be confident with knowing 60% and not knowing 40%. Allow yourself that.
Yeah.
One thing that I want to mention real quick, and Guminder, I don't know why that reminded me, but a book that I really love is called The Hard Thing About Hard Things. It's from this VC named Ben Horowitz. Sometimes I believe, this is for me, I don't know about everyone else, but I feel like when I can find other peers or people that are senior, and I know that they have their vulnerabilities and they feel this way too. It's just a matter of how everyone kind of just deals with it. It makes me feel more confident that, okay, I'm not so different. I'm not the only one feeling these things. And that book revealed to me that everyone, no matter how high up you are, you still feel certain things.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's a great book. It's The Hard Thing About Hard Things by Ben Horowitz.
Yeah, it's so funny, Jimmy, that you brought that up because I think some folks might know, but others might not. Jimmy and I know each other from workplace, but I read that book, Jimmy, because of your recommendation.
Oh, right.
Good.
It was a really good book.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm glad you said that. It's perfect in this context.
Yeah.
It actually is. I'm really glad you brought that example up because you might look at people, successful CEOs, even maybe not so far away, but people who are senior to you a couple levels and go, wow, they just seem to be able to navigate anything. That is not true. I would say, you know, Guminder, like your story shares a very healthy self-talk. I think for years I've struggled with my self-talk being detrimental to my self-confidence. And it's an interesting thing to go through and have others help me through it. But because I was such an overachiever, there was a very Asian upbringing. I was, you know, it was like if you got a 93, my parents would be like, where's the 7 points, right? And that 7 points became not only like, where's the 7 points, but why aren't you as good of a student? So there's an interpretation. And then that interpretation becomes, oh, I'm not as good as I could be, which is always the opposite of self-confidence, right? The I am enough is not there. When you take a mistake and your self-talk becomes a doubt, but not only a doubt that you have on that situation, but doubt overall about your abilities, right? And if you allow that self-talk to persist, that actually takes all the attention away from the learning and the moving forward with your full self, right? And it's something that took me a decade, probably in work, to actually even recognize that I'm torturing myself with something that really was much more trivial, to actually give me myself the permission to be comfortable in making mistakes and say, hey, I made that mistake, but I am still this strong person, this strong leader, this strong product owner, etc. So it is very, I would say, both humbling but also real to see other people have those stories, see the people that you respect for a long time, whether you know them personally or you actually just know them from what they've accomplished for the world, and then get to know their doubts and realize every human being go through the thought of doubt is like natural. The thought of making mistakes or the actual things of making the actual action of making mistakes is actually always expected. It's what we say to ourselves and for how long after that happens that differentiates how we build our confidence or tear it down. And tearing it down is actually, hate to say this, it's almost like a specialty of some of the very, it's a very stubborn self-talk because you don't really share it often with others. But I would say to all of you, ask yourself that exercise. Go deeper with the last mistake you make and ask yourself and be aware and listen to what you're actually saying to yourself about your skills, about your capabilities, about what it means to you in your current job. And then if you become aware of that, ask yourself if you really should be saying that to yourself, whether there's really that much evidence where one small thing happens and somehow it led to a larger, much larger conclusion that's now actually making you feel lesser. Any questions or comments? I've been exploring a bit about, you know, self-confidence is a topic very difficult. It's much harder to talk about or teach or build than things like, well, how to be succinct, how to speak up. Those are a little bit more external. I think self-confidence has a lot more, I'm still trying to figure out the best way to help others in this situation. And for me, it's about sharing these stories of like the most confident person you see up there on a podium speaking is literally probably twirling a bobby pin or some kind of like, you know, paperclip or something. I forget, there's a movie talking about a senator speaking and he's such a good speaker and he's like, oh, actually, I'm nervous every time and I literally break up this paperclip every time. So there is such a thing as don't assume everybody else somehow has it easier than you. Everybody actually go through very similar human experiences, but it's in your power to be aware of what you're saying to yourself as well as to actually then change that self-talk and surround yourself with believers of you. I would say that's not a primary reason to be self-confident, but it definitely doesn't hurt to have people who believe in you be in your circles. I'm just checking on the time. I think we have like 2 more minutes. Is there any questions or situations or comments you would like to make about this topic? I think we're going to have to conclude on this one and leave politics to the next session. Jamie and Guminder, I think both of you guys had some really good examples to share. Are there any, if there was one tip that you would give others who are trying to build or be, you know, looking at building self-confidence or have that self-confidence, what would you say?
I mean, for me, it's really the short memory thing, I think, because we all have setbacks at some point. And I think being able to have a mechanism to control that and keep it minimized is key for your sanity, to be honest.
Yeah.
And because self-confidence, it can erode, and it's because you keep running these little failures through your mind.
Like a tally.
Consistently, like a tally.
Mm.
So to offset, yeah. I think offset it.
Guminder, do you have a tip for the group?
I'll just pile on to that because I think I'll go back to what I was saying earlier, right? It's somewhat related to keeping that short memory, is allowing, really make a conscious effort to get into the mode of allowing yourself to be wrong and make mistakes. I think that immensely raises, in my opinion, it's helped me raise my self-confidence over the years. Because I always constantly give myself that talk that it's okay to make a mistake. Yeah. And allow yourself to go into a situation and think that you're not going to be perfect. And 9 out of 10 times, you do much better than you thought you would.
Yeah. Lower the bar.
That's a great point. Great point.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyone else? Do you guys have... I know I called 2 people out. Thank you both for sharing. Sunny, Bandita, Suda, any other things to share? Roshi?
No, this was really helpful. Thank you. Great all right. Suggestion.
All right, great.
Yeah, that's like a really relevant topic today.
Yeah, if you have any questions for me, you know where to reach me on email. I also write a lot about self-confidence and the blog as well. You can put questions there. Thanks, everyone, for joining. This was great discussion. Thanks for participating, and I'll share the recording as well in a couple weeks. Have a great Thursday.
Thank you.
Thanks, you too.
Okay, bye-bye.